And I want you to take your Bibles this evening and turn to Proverbs, if you will. What a powerful song. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, if you will. Once you find Proverbs 28, you can find your way to your feet, if you would. We're going to find verse number 17, Proverbs chapter 28, starting with verse number 17. Proverbs 28:17, the Bible says, a man that doth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain person shall have poverty enough. And then it says in verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Those few words at the beginning of verse 20 are what we'll use to help our sermon tonight. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. And let's pray. Spirit of God, you are welcome here. Lord, I want nothing more than for you to have your will and your way in this place. I turn my mind, I turn my mouth, I turn my body over to you. Guide and direct this service. May each of us be in submission to thy Spirit. May we listen in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Tonight, help us to last for the cause of Jesus. Help us to last a long time. Bless us with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may have a seat. I call the sermon tonight, Longevity in an Old-Time Religion Church. Maybe it's longevity in and around the old-time religion. I was saved when I was a 16-year-old boy. Somehow, God saw fit to put me in the right kind of a church. It was an old-time religion church. That very same year, God called me to preach. I'll be honest, I've never doubted a day since the day he called me that's what he called me to do. I'm sure other preachers have different ways of explaining it, but just so you know, your pastor is doing exactly what the God of the universe created me to do. And in the place that God created me to do it, this verse here, it says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. It's very obvious that the Bible's saying to abound with blessing, you must be faithful. You can experience the abounding of blessing, but you're going to have to be faithful to accomplish it. When I preach out, and I've preached a lot of places and preached a lot of times, on a couple of different occasions, I found myself sitting at a fellowship after, a carry-in dinner, and I found myself sitting at a table with a bunch of senior citizens, some gray-haired veterans. Wasn't a long time ago. I'd lingered after a service, and they were having some coffee and some refreshments. And the table that I was sitting with, everybody at the table were 80 years old plus. And I didn't talk much. I just listened. But I heard them talking about their church, and I heard them talking about the old-time religion. And I just sat in awe and in respect of those people. And they said, Brother Owens, you're not saying much. I said, to be quite honest, I don't qualify to say much at this table. You all know so much. You've been around. You've seen so much. I said, I would like to learn a couple things from you all. And they said, well, what would that be? And I asked them a few questions. These people were testifying about how they'd been in their churches and been in their churches for a long time. They talked about how they'd been going to Baptist churches that had seen revival and that God had used, and I mean year after year after year after year. And I just started asking questions about, what kept you in the church? What kept you with the old-time religion? And I was listening, and as a result, I wrote some things down and decided that one day I would talk about those things that I heard from those people that had been at it a long, long time. I was at a church and at a conference, and they'd ask if I would help them. They were going to honor a deacon. And I said, what for? They honored a man that had been a deacon in that very same church for 5 years. And they said, Brother Owens, he would be thrilled if you would do the honors tonight. And I stood up and I said, folks, I am humbled to even be on the same platform with a man that could do what this man's done for 65 years. I was preaching here in the state of North Carolina, McLeansville, and a lady came in one Sunday evening, and the pastor said, you see that lady right there? He said, she has been a Sunday school teacher for 69 years. 69 years. Well, we honored her at a conference that I was hosting, and we gave her a diamond necklace, and we tried to treat her right. You say, why? Because I think somebody that could teach Sunday school in an old-time religion church for 69 years, that's more important than whoever is on the hit charts out of Hollywood or whoever's singing the most recent hit rock and roll song. They don't even compare to a deacon of 65 years and a sweet lady that's been teaching Sunday school for 69 years. If you'll listen to me for a little while, I'm not old enough to tell you how to make it to 85 years of age. But I've been around some people that did. And I asked a few of them the questions. I was called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. I'm 56 years of age. I've been preaching for 40 years. I've traveled around. I've been around and I've seen a lot. I've been in the biggest churches that the world have to offer and probably the smallest churches that the world have to offer. You say, what did you see, preacher? The most amazing thing that I've ever glanced at, the most amazing thing that I've ever seen are faithful people. That just impresses me. I would like to do what I do for a long time and do it right. I would like for you to stay in an old-time religion church for a long time and to do it the right way. I'm going to share with you some of the simplest things in the world, but these simple things are what will help you to accomplish maybe the most important thing in the world, and that is to be faithful. If you said to me, Pastor, is there one quality that outweighs all the rest? I would have to say to you, being faithful. You see, if you'll be faithful, we can teach you everything else. People that are not faithful, you have a hard time getting the right information to them, and they have a hard time becoming what they need to become. Again, I call the sermon longevity in an old-time religion church. Let me give you some things that will help you to stay with the old-time religion, and I hope your church for a long time to come. First of all, if you want to stay in the right kind of church for a long time, you're going to have to be willing to grow in the Christian life. You have to be willing to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it tells us that we ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a senior citizen sitting at one of those tables say to me, Pastor, I can remember way, way back, I got into a fundamental Baptist church, and to be honest, I kind of thought I already knew it all. I'd been around and been in some churches, and I'd been at it for a while, and I kind of went in with an edge that I'd pretty well already accomplished everything, and I knew everything that I need to know. She said it didn't take long until I heard a preacher preaching in a way that I'd never heard it preached before, and I was learning some things I'd never learned before, and to be honest, I had to be humbled in my spirit. She said, and then there came a point when there were some areas that I needed to grow that I would have never imagined anybody requiring me to grow in, because I thought I already had it all together as a Christian. She said, I could have been offended at that point in my Christian life, and I would have stepped out of the right kind of church, but I learned that I needed to grow even if I were 40 or 50 years of age. And she said, if people want to stay in the right kind of a church for a long time, they need to realize the pastor teaching them a word of God that is so vast, so powerful, and so holy, they need to keep submitting and keep changing and bettering themselves, even once they think they've arrived. And that was a humble 80-some-year-old lady that said, I'm still in my church, and I'm still serving God in an old-time religion Baptist church. But she said, and I'm still learning things, and I'm still improving at 85. Folks, if you're going to stay in the right kind of a church for a long time, you're going to have to be willing to grow. I'll promise you something. Nobody here is a finished product, including your pastor. We all need to grow. When you're done growing, you're sure to soon after be offended. I say, when you say you're done growing, you're soon after going to be offended. People who don't want to grow sooner or later become impossible to work with. Very difficult to work with because they become rigid. They become set in their ways. God might even say stiff-necked to a degree. You keep growing. Growing, it has a flexibility to it. It means there's motion in the right direction. But if you want to last a long time in the right kind of a church, you've got to be willing to grow. Number two, speaking and listening to people that have been doing it for a long time. This is what a man said to me. I think he was 87. And he said, well, if you're a good leader, you've got to be more willing to follow than to lead if you want to last a long time. You hear that? Be more willing to follow than to lead. I like the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And so I tell you all, we all have to remain followers. We have to remain followers. Keep a good follower attitude. If leading is your only passion, you're about to make some serious mistakes. You say, all I want to do is learn to lead. Well, Jesus wants you to learn to follow. And the leading comes as a part of it. But I'll promise you, when people get to the point where they must be in charge and they've got to make the decisions and they've got to get the credit and they've got to be out front and they better get promoted and they better get the position, you won't last much longer. It won't be long till you'll be offended and you'll be on your way where you can go somewhere where maybe they'll let you lead until you get far enough out of control and then you'll have to go somewhere else. I happen to believe the strongest sign of leadership is followership. The purest form of leadership is followership. Someone said everything rises and falls on leadership. I would agree with that to this degree. I also believe that everything rises and falls on followership. Matter of fact, in my opinion, leadership and followership are almost identical. It all depends on which time it is or how you're to behave at that moment. But if you want to last a long time in an old-time religion church, you've got to be more willing to follow than to lead, and let leadership be a blessing, but let followership be your passion. You say, well, what about you? Well, if I did not learn to follow God, I would not have the opportunity to lead. And the day your pastor ceases to follow God, he's in trouble. It is my job to make sure that I have decided to follow Jesus. You say, I'd like to have your job. I would like for you to have it. And there are moments I'd be more than glad to turn the whole thing over to you. But I will promise you this. Followership is a strength. And that strength will help you to last in a church like this, an old-time religion church. Be more willing to grow. Be more willing to follow. Men, I just had a person say to me, they said, get ready, you're going to be offended. And that's how they put it, almost as if they'd just been offended just prior to making that statement to me. 80-year-plus Christian, been going to an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, hard-hitting Baptist church all these years and said, just get ready, you're going to be offended. Folks, if you have a preacher that preaches the Word of God the way the Bible says it's to be preached, we're apt to be offended. Did you know something? I offend myself sometimes with what I say. Did you know it's real clear in the Bible that Jesus, there were certain truths that he preached and the people were offended? And as long as we're dealing with sinners, and I got to looking through the membership records, from all indications, everybody that's a member here is a sinner. I looked and looked and looked, and I couldn't find anybody that didn't qualify as being a sinner. You understand that if you put a whole bunch of sinners in one unit together, there's the possibility of offense. May I recommend to you that offenses will come? Well, I would recommend that right now you plan to heal if you're offended. Why don't you plan to get over it instead of letting it fester? Don't run unless it's to Jesus. Look, others will go through what you went through, and they made it, and they survived, and they stayed in the right kind of church, and they did the right thing. But folks, if our church, if there was no motion or no movement, if there was no growth, we might not have much offense. But as long as there's movement, there's friction. Does that make sense to you? My wife asked me the other day, we were somewhere, I know what, we had gone, someone that she had helped had passed away, and she said, honey, could we run by their funeral? And we did. There was all sorts of people at this funeral, and it was a liberal church. And my wife said, how in the world do they get all these people? I said, well, they never preach against immorality. They don't preach that there's a heaven. They don't preach that there's a hell. They don't preach that there's a right or a wrong. They don't preach that you have to tithe. They don't preach against anything. So everybody gets to come in and be whatever they want and do whatever they want. And nobody's ever wrong. I guess it'd be probably pretty easy for people to hang around. She said, oh, that's why we don't grow as fast as they do. I said, exactly. But folks, there's going to be offense when you clarify the difference between right and wrong. And then when you're charging hell, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Folks, we're not sitting at home waiting. We're charging the gates of hell with bus routes and with soul winning and with proper doctrine. When that happens, there's going to end up being some friction because there's movement and there's growth. So, old lady said, you're going to be offended. Learn to take it and hang in there. Then, number four, I would recommend that if you want to last a long time in the right kind of a church, and I happen to believe the Twin Rivers Baptist Church is the right kind of church, and I would say this, and not as a smart aleck, although I qualify being a smart aleck from time to time. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I promise you this, if you can find a church that's right with God, that has proper doctrine, that does it right, if you can find one in this area that's better than ours, I recommend you go join it. That's what I'd recommend. I would never want to cheat anybody out of having the very best that's available to them. And I'm not saying that we're necessarily the best in the world. I'm just telling you, if you can find better, go find it. I would make sure it's better according to the Word of God. But listen, may I say number four, don't be here for the wrong reasons. Do you know if you're here for the wrong reasons, when the reasons get turned upside down, when the reasons don't go your way, and they're the wrong reasons, you're probably not going to last very long. You ought to be in the right kind of church because of the biblical stand that that church takes. You say, well, Pastor, I like your personality. You shouldn't be here because of my personality, although I do understand that. To know me is to love me. And I'm humble and all of that. That's hard to find. You shouldn't go to the church that you go to because you like the pastor's personality, though I think it's a good idea for the pastor to try to have good social skills. You go to the church that you go to because of where they stand and what they preach on the Bible. Hey, and it's not just what they preach on the Bible. It's then, do they administrate what they preach? Or some people stand up and say all sorts of things, but they don't really require it throughout the system. Folks, if we say it from this pulpit, you can be dead sure it's happening throughout the system. I don't stand up here and just say there's bad music. I don't allow it in my ministries. And we interview people that have positions in our church and say you can't be listening to bad music while you hold a position of leadership. See, there are some that will say they believe something, but there's no administration of the truth. I happen to believe that's a part of it. Pastor, I'm not just here to tell you about all the bad things in the world. I'm here to help you live right too. But don't be here for the wrong reasons. You say my friends are here. I'm glad they are. But if you're here because your friends are here and then your friends leave, then I guess you have no reason to be here. You say, I love this building and the grounds. Well, I'm glad you do. Would have you loved us at our old church building? Would you love us if all we had was a tent? If it's the building that entices you, you're wrong. Now, I love our building. We love our building. But you know what? I didn't come over here because I didn't love our last building. I loved our last building. I was fine. This building, so you all know, doesn't mean a thing to me. It gives me a place to have church. Now, the fact that it's nice, great. Fantastic. But if we didn't have this, as long as we had room for church, that'd be fine with me. But if you're here for the wrong reason, if that reason changes, then you won't last. You're here because of your friends. You may not last. You're here because you like this building. You may not last. You say it's close to your house. You say it's close to my house. Well, let me tell you something. There's a certain part of Christianity that's just not always convenient. It wasn't convenient for Jesus to come from all the way to heaven to earth to die for you. It wasn't close to his house. Think about it. Think how far he came. It's not convenient for the Andrews. Not convenient at all. Brother Andrews, how long does it take you all to get here? Should take the average person 50 minutes to get here if you drove the speed limit, but 35 to 40 minutes. Now, thank God. Sure, Martha, what's it take you to get here? Yeah. And she does drive like a maniac. She said 10 seconds. You know, I'm glad Daniel Rockwell, well, wow, our old church building was just up the corner from his house, but that didn't stop him from coming to church. But if you're here just because this is close to your house, folks, you ought not pick a church because it's close to your house. You ought to pick a church because it's right with God and it's the one you ought to be at. You say, I love the pastor's humor. I'm not always funny. And what will happen is the day that I'm not funny and we get down to it, you'll hit the door. You'll leave. You'll say, I'm not coming back. It's not just about the humor. You say, I have a feeling that this is going to be a prominent church in the community. We're not striving for prominence in the community. You say, what are you striving for? One thing. I'm striving to please God. That's all. You say, you want a big church? No, I want a church that's right with God. And if that creates a lot of people, fine. If it doesn't, fine. It doesn't matter to me. But if you're here for the wrong reason, you won't last. You say, well, you're preaching. It makes me feel good. That can change in a moment. You're looking at someone that has the personality of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I can be lovey-dovey with you on Sunday morning, and you can walk away saying my heart is touched. And on Sunday night, you say, that man hates me. And I don't hate anybody. I hate sin. But it takes a combination of both. And if you say it, you just make me feel good. Look, preaching's not always supposed to make you feel good. So if you want to last a long time in the right kind of a church, you've got to be willing to grow, because there are going to be things come your way that you're not used to. And if you're not careful, your pride will make you say, I'm already a finished product. I'm far enough along. I know it all. And so when those areas of growth are pressed upon you, you have to either admit you need to grow, swallow your ego a little bit and grow, or you'll be offended. You got to be more willing to follow than to lead. Fellowship is always a safe stance to take. You have to realize offenses will come, and when they do, don't have your feelings hurt and run away from God and run away from a right thing. Don't be here for the wrong reasons. Number five, you're going to need to learn to just be faithful. Just be faithful. Stay faithful to church. You know that you can't stay faithful until you've become faithful. Staying means you were already somewhere. You had to be there to stay there. So, folks, you won't last a long time in the right kind of a church if you don't get into that church and plan to be a part of the church. I recommend everybody in here. I think everybody ought to be participators, not just spectators. At some point, sooner or later, you need to get involved. You say, how do I do that? Well, if you're not saved, you get saved. If you've not been baptized after you got saved, you need to get baptized. If you've been saved and baptized and not joined the church, you need to join the church. Then there are elements there are ways that you can get involved. There are different levels of involvement for people that live different levels of their Christian life. And then you begin to change your life and clean up your life, and you take the bad out and put the good in as you qualify. And so you all know the word qualify, that word is kind of an odd word. I just want you all to know, I don't think any of us qualify for anything, honestly. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. He just happens to overlook some of our stupidities and some of our sins, but he lets us serve. But we have a system here at the church so that at every level of the Christian life, there are ways to serve. But you need to become faithful if you plan to stay faithful. Some of you need to work a little harder on your faithfulness to church. Sometimes there are such little things that can keep us out of church. We need to decide to be here. We need to decide to be in our place. I worry, and I'll tell you why I worry. I can preach a sermon that I believe will salvage someone and help them to stay faithful, and then they don't show up to hear it. Look, if you don't hear enough of the sermons about what it takes to be faithful, you're not going to get the right stuff. if you don't get the right stuff, you won't become the right stuff, and you won't stick with it. Let me go on. Someone said to me, they said, be careful, and a husband and wife said this, they said, be careful, don't run with the crowd that don't plan to stay. That's what they said, don't run with the crowd that don't plan to stay. And this elderly couple, I don't think that's an offensive term, they were both 82, 83 years of age. They said, just don't run around with the people that don't plan to stay. Look, if in their conversations they're totally dissatisfied with the church and you're spending a whole bunch of time with them, you know what you're going to do? They're going to wear on you. They're going to wear on you. I think you ought to be friendly with everybody, and I think you ought to be kind to everybody. But if you know somebody that's got one foot in the door, and every church has them, they got one foot in the door, they'd be out of here if they could. I'd be very careful becoming best friends with people like that, because they will influence you with a dissatisfaction about your church. So this couple said, just don't run with the people that you can tell don't want to be there. I thought that was a very wise thing. I thought it was a very wise thing. Something else that I always told them. Realize that the ones who want to stay faithful become a target of the devil. Realize the ones that want to stay faithful become a target of the devil. You know, those of you that say, yeah, preacher, I want to stay in an old-time religion church, and I want to stay with the old-time religion, and preacher, I want to stay faithful to our church to the end. The devil knows you feel that way. So I would expect he'll work on you. He'll work on you. The devil won't be happy if you want to be one of those committed Christians. The devil's going to launch some attacks. He's going to try to get you to change your mind. And let me tell you, be honored that you have merited the devil's attack. I didn't say be happy. You don't have to be happy about it. But at least stop and realize that the devil's attacking you because he knows you've got a strong, deep commitment to the old-time religion and a strong, deep commitment to your church. Realize that it is an honor that he's upset with you. He's upset for the right reason. Be careful. If you say, you know what, I want to be that kind of committed person. You know what happens to young Christians? You get a brand new Christian saved and they start coming to church. Do you know how quickly the devil can jump on them while their heart is tender? And they're coming and saying, whatever the Lord wants, and that's what I want to do. And the preacher said I ought to do this, and I'm going to do that. And they, when they get on board and their heart's tender, and you just see they're getting a rhythm for serving God, the devil will jump on them with both feet. All of a sudden, a family member that's religious, that's never spoken to them in years, will invite them to their liberal church. All of a sudden, everybody that didn't care is mocking them about their changes in Christianity. They have more flat tires than usual. It gets tougher at work than usual. What's the devil doing? Devil's saying, here's somebody that is about to make a commitment to become a stalwart of the faith. I'll see if I can scare them out of it, or I'll knock it out of them as quickly as I can. Folks, let me tell you. If you've decided to be faithful, you will go through difficulties. Because the devil says, I'm going to try you. I'm going to test you about your commitment to stay with the old-time religion and stay in the right church. Let me go on. In my conversation, someone said, I was backslidden for a season. If you want to stay in your church, you're going to have moments of backsliding. Put your pride away and get right with God, even if people in your church know that you weren't right with God. And this is what they were telling me. They'd gotten away from God. They'd kind of gotten contrary, and people in the church knew that there were some things that were not right in their life. Their pride could have gotten in the road and kept them from getting it right and staying in church, and they could have ran. But they said, I did not let my pride get in the road. I bit the bullet. I got myself right. I repented in the presence of all those people. They weren't saying, we're going to bring you up here on the platform and tell everybody what bad you did. We're not going to do that. But I think what they said was, we got right with God. We walked the aisle, rededicated our lives, and let everybody know the misbehavior they just saw. We're ashamed, and we want to be right here in this church serving God with this group of people. And they were willing to overcome their pride and do that. Now, I'll tell you what. When I heard that, I said, that is such excellent advice. Folks, everybody could get backslidden. You could go out and do something dumb. You could embarrass yourself. You know, you could do something and everybody knows you shouldn't have done that. And it's a sin that we preach against and everybody tries to live and not do that. If you ever do it, can I tell you what you need to do? Just come to your senses and say, I did it. It was wrong. I'm staying. I'm going to get right with God. And if I got to be embarrassed this week and walk down and rededicate my life, or if I got to say to someone, I did wrong and I'm sorry and I'm getting right, I'm willing to do that because I want to stay in the right kind of church. Do you know how many people go out and mess up their lives and then they run away from the church that could help them because they were too embarrassed of their wrong? And let's all covet together as a church family. If somebody does wrong and they want to get right, we'll let them. We'll let them. You won't be the object of our scorn. We won't attack you. We won't try to throw you out with the garbage. You say, will there be discipline? Yeah, if you're smart, you'll discipline yourself. And there may be. It may be that you need to sit on the sideline for a week or two, but be willing to sit on the sideline for a week or two to stay in the right church, to stay with the right kind of people, to stay around the right kind of preaching. And look, folks, everybody here messes up. It's just that everybody here doesn't always know you did. I've been at this way too long. I'm not preaching to a group of sanctified saints. I'm preaching to a bunch of silly sinners. And everybody messes up. Sometimes people know about it. If that ever happens to you, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction. If that happens to you, just get it right. We will accept you. We will help you. We will rebuild you. And it won't be held against you forever. We talked on and someone said, I love this. I thought, this is so powerful. An old fella who almost woke up while we were talking. And this is what he said. This is what makes it funny. He said, well, you got to keep on coming even when you're not excited about it. We're sitting there fellowshipping and he's almost asleep. And he wakes up and he says, hey, you got to keep on coming even if you're not excited about it. And I thought, how unique. Let me tell you, there'll be times, hey, some of you are new in our church and you see this and it's exciting and it's fresh. And you say there's a revival spirit. And yes, there is. And it kind of stays that way. I really don't notice that dropping off. But you know what? If it dropped off for a week, don't stop coming. If you're newer to this church, you may say, this is fantastic. Well, we keep doing the same things over and over and over again. We keep talking about people getting saved. We keep talking about reading your Bible. There'll come a day when you've heard most of the topics and the subjects of sermon. We may put a little different twist or we may have a different illustration on it. But I got to tell you, I only have one book to preach. They're not producing anymore, and the ones they are producing are not Bibles. Therefore, I got to keep going back to the same old source, and I might wrap it in a different color wrapping paper and put a different kind of bow on it. And there might be a way that we can make it smell a little different when we throw it out there, but the same old truth is in the Bible, and that's not going to change. And you say, well, I want to go to a church that they're getting that new stuff. Look, it's got to be old stuff wrapped in a new way to be the real stuff. And if you ever find anything that's brand new that nobody's ever heard before, you better run. Because there's nothing new under the sun. This book's finished. But you keep coming, and I almost hate to say this, but let me tell you, I'm going to be real honest. This will help your marriage. This will help you in regard to church. Folks, do your duty. Now, I can be a little tough on this issue. I talk about character and doing what's right all the time. And there are some people afraid to talk to me because I can take the icing off the cake real quick and say, just do what you're supposed to do. Now, I want you to enjoy it. And I want you to have a good time. And I want it to be pleasant and fun and exciting. But if it's not, show up at church and do what you're supposed to do. When they recruited you into the military, you were so excited because you're going to get a fresh new uniform and you were going to serve under the red, white, and blue flag. But I'm going to promise you, the first morning when it was time for roll call, they did not baby you, rub your belly, pat your head, and ask you if you had considered possibly attending. They said, get up and do what you're supposed to do and don't talk back. You do what you're supposed to do because it's right to do. You want to know something? You want to stay in the right kind of a church? Do what you're supposed to do. Why? Because it's right. Not because it's easy, not because it's convenient, not because it's pleasant. You do what's right. You make it a part of your routine, it becomes a part of your habit, and you do what's right. And you know what we'll do? Brother Edwards, we'll work at having some good music, won't we? And Brother Young will work at having a children's church. And Brother Steed will work at having a primary church and a King's Kids. And Aisha will have a Flyers Club. And Brother Ellswick will have some fun in the youth department. And hey, we'll even have a senior ministry with activities like Brother Hollinger's running. And hey, we'll have homecoming and have the Rochesters come and sing. And I'll tell some jokes and we'll have some skits and we'll have a youth conference. But you know what? If we didn't have any of that, you show up and do what you're supposed to do and be where you're supposed to be. Why? Because it's right to do. And that's what Christians do. Right before they threw Daniel in the lion's den, they didn't have an activity for Daniel and cake and ice cream. But we'll have some fun. But when the old fellow woke up and said, just when it's not exciting, do what you're supposed to do. Matt, part of that comes from the old generation. Today, if it's not fun, we don't want to do it. But we're supposed to do what's right. Let me give you a couple more and we'll be done. Let me say this. I had a lady, and she seemed, I'll be honest, I think she was probably a bit of a contrary cuss. You could just tell by the way she handled herself, by the way she said things to me. I thought, I'm glad I'm not married to you. I just... And to come to think of it, her husband died about 20 years earlier. She may have put him in an early grave. But this is what she said. And she presented it in a way, but I think she very humbly presented it. She said, well, she said, if you want to last a long time in the right kind of church, you probably have to get right with God and people as often as necessary. Get right with God and people as often as necessary. Huh. And then she said, I've made it a custom of mine to regularly check on my relationships in the church. I thought that was smart. What she's saying, you may have to apologize. Or you may have to receive an apology. Some of you, your personality, you're not real good at that. You say you forgive, but you don't really. You want to last a long time in a church like ours, where we come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and our kids do things together, and our teenagers do things together, and we do things together as adults, and we build things together and paint things together, and we do electrical work together, and we mow the yard together, and we have meals together. You know what it's like at your house? How the tension can rise at your house because you live together? Well, we're a family. And this is about as close as you're going to get outside your family of living together with people. We share money, we share food, we share activity. We have one minute you lead, the next minute you follow. You're leading someone's child, the next minute somebody else is leading your child. Somebody's taking care of your baby. Your little girl told your Sunday school teacher what you did at home that they weren't supposed to tell anybody. Can I tell you all something? If we don't learn to get along, we'll destroy each other. And she said, you got to learn and check on those relationships. Learn how to apologize. Hey, and the quicker the better. Look, every man in here that's a leader, you could have the tendency to step on somebody's feet just like that. You know, you're used to saying, do this. And then you realize it was a woman and she's 9. And you just talk to her that way and you're going, ooh. She does not serve in your platoon. But really, I'm really not fearful of strong men. I believe a church needs strong men. Hey, but men, if we're going to be strong, we got to learn how to control that strength. We have all sorts of business owners in here. Think of the number of military men, retired military men, men with rank in this room, strong men. Now, if we all don't use some sense, we could put all of you men in one room and you could kill each other in a matter of just a few minutes. I mean, we have men that have been to college and graduated, and I mean, we have strong people. Now, we're all going to have to learn to get along. We have, and I don't mean this inappropriately, we have some ladies, they can get the job done. You give them a job, they'll get the job done. And I think they can still be sweet and feminine and submissive to their husbands, but you give a lady a job, she can get it done. Now, ladies, you're going to have to be careful that you get along with each other. Be careful. If you're the one, if you hold grudges, you're going to have a hard time lasting a long time in the church. You'll be going down one hallway to avoid somebody that went down another. Should not be that way. So what are you talking about? Fix your relationships. If you ever have a problem with me, just come and talk to me. And I promise you, if I think I have a problem with you, I'd be glad to talk with you. And I'm not talking about coming to chew you out. But look, if you find yourself at odds with somebody in the church, why don't you, in private, pull them aside and say, hey, listen, I feel like there's a little issue and I want to get it taken care of. And as soon as you apologize to me, we're going to be fine. But she said, get right with God and with people as frequently as necessary. I believe that's the key, is staying in an old-time religion for a long time. I'm finished. But the very last thing I didn't get from them, I didn't get from talking to these people that had been around. I wrote it down on my own. And this is what I wrote. If you want to stay and be faithful and stay a long time in an old-time religion Baptist church like ours, you'll have to become what we are. You have to become that. There's some people that think they are, but they're not really. There's some that are becoming, but you're going to have to work at it. I really am. I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist. That's what I really am. This church isn't an alternative. For instance, I really do believe the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved Word of God. I don't just say that. I'm not just entertaining. I believe that. That's a conviction. I'm a Baptist. If you can't tell, it's all over our signs. We're not doing that because we couldn't figure out what else to put on our signs. I'm a Baptist. There's a little piece to the puzzle that some of you might not understand. Most of you do. When I took this church, this was an important part. I believe the Bible teaches pastoral leadership in a church. In other words, our church is not ran by a deacon board. There's not a denomination that tells our church what to do. We get our instructions from headquarters. You say, where's headquarters? That's heaven. That's from the Word of God. We believe in separation. You know, we believe Christians are to live different. We're not just to talk about separation. We're to live it. On and off the church property, there are all sorts of people that say, well, I never do that on the church property. Then they'll go home and do it. Well, I think right is right and wrong is wrong. We believe in ecclesiastical separation. You say, what does that mean? The word ecclesiastical comes from the word ekklesia. The word ekklesia is where we get the word church. It's part of the Greek word in the New Testament. We don't yoke up with churches that don't believe the way we believe. In other words, you say where they're having a sunrise service down by the river and, you know, the Catholics and the morons and everybody are going to be there. We won't be going. Now, I'm not afraid to get with another independent fundamental Baptist church that believes the King James Bible is an inspired, preserved Word of God and fellowship. I don't have any problem with that. But we won't yoke up with every Tom, Dick, and Harry all in the name of religion to try to make something happen. You say, don't you think we'll be more powerful that way? Well, there's a powerhouse coming through in the end. He's called the Antichrist, and that's his entire plan. I don't plan to join that group either. And so I think that we associate with people of like faith. We don't just talk about the old-time religion music. We believe it. I'm not going to promote contemporary music. I'm not going to promote Christian rock music. We're going to have old-time religion music. See, you can't remain an old-time religion Christian unless you become one. And I would recommend that you head that way. I don't believe everybody that talks about Jesus even knows him. You spend all your time watching television and religion, you probably are not really like us. Most of the things on television are not doctrinally pure. You say, my favorite bookstore is a Christian bookstore. Again, I would probably challenge whether you're really like us then. The Christian bookstores are full of junk. I said it last week. If you spend all your time at the Christian bookstore, you must be looking for a strawberry in the bottom of the outhouse. You go try to find you like that, Marcus. Think about the average Christian bookstore. Written by every religious wacko in the world. It's just packed full. It's a business. It's not a Christian organization. So it's hard to remain something if you never that in the first place. So you say, this is all kind of new to me. Well, what I'm telling you, if you want to stay at it, you'll begin to become what this Bible teaches you to be. And then you try to remain what you're supposed to be. But keep growing. I'd just gotten with a bunch of old people that I admired incredibly. And I watched and listened to them talk about how they lasted through all the years. And I said, that is just brilliant. Couldn't have prepared a better sermon than to just listen to those faithful people talk about how they lasted through the years. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you have a desire for longevity in your church? Longevity in an old-time religion church? If you do, I've given you some hints about what to do and how to do it. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, I welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're here tonight, hey, let's say you're a little backslidden. Will you stay right here in your church, but get it right? You'll be received. You'll be accepted. Maybe you say, I've never really considered truly becoming an old-time religion, an old-time Baptist, but I think that's what I want to be. I think that's what I am in the process of becoming. Good, then stick with it. But you got to become it if you want to then follow the instructions how to stay with it. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I've learned some things. I've been challenged and I think in some cases encouraged as you hear what your pastor teaches and what this church believes. Would you raise your hand and say, God has spoken to my heart. There's no doubt about it. God bless you. You may put your hands down if you need this altar. I'll tell you, there might be some of you just need to come down here and get on your knees and say, God, humbly, please help me to stay in the right church. Help me to keep my family in the right kind of a church. Help me to do the right thing so I can be faithful and abound with blessings. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? If you do, you come. You need to come and kneel and say, God, just help me. Help me to stay in the right church. God, help me to have the right attitude. God, help me. Maybe I said something tonight and it's affected you. You say, uh-oh, I've got to work on that one right there. Be willing to grow. Be willing to follow, not just lead. Realize offenses will come. When they do, don't run. Don't panic. Don't get nasty. Just fix it. Don't be here for the wrong reasons. Be here for that primary reason, the Word of God. Be faithful. Don't run with the crowd that doesn't want to be here. Realize that if you've committed yourself to stay faithful in an old-time religion church, the devil will try to get you out of it. He will target you. Remember, if you get out of sync with God, humble yourself, get back in sync, and stay in your church. You don't have to run. You don't have to forsake God's people. They'll let you come back. Then, if all else fails, you just keep coming because it's your duty. You just do what's right till you get past the dry spell. Get right with God and get right with people as often as you have to keep yourself in the right kind of church. And if you're not really an old-time religion Baptist, maybe it's time for you to make the decision that that's what you will be so that you can remain and stay faithful to what you really are and what you ought to be. One more time through the song, if you need the altar, you're welcome to come. Thank you.